You've tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hey everybody, this is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. And welcome back to another episode of Naturopathy Earth Radio, or NPE Radio. I hope you're doing well today on this Thursday morning of mid-May. Before we begin talking about coffee, its benefits, and the acrylamide scare, a reminder, the website is Naturopathic Earth, naturopathicearth.com. Check out the articles there and the recipes and the Twitter feed and the pictures and all that good stuff. Through there, you can contact me about being your health coach if you're needing to lose some weight. As many of you know, I've lost 100 pounds and kept it off of 27 years now, so maybe I can help you with that. And also, of course, we have a crowdfunding account through Patreon. If you click on the link on this episode, it'll take you to it. If you can donate any money at all to that, it would really help Kate and myself defray the cost of this podcast. So if you find any usefulness from any of these 100 and some episodes, please consider donating a dollar or two a month. It would mean a great deal. All right, let's talk about the cafe. Okay, so I had mentioned acrylamide and the coffee issue in a past episode. I think it was the 20 rapid questions episode that was about five episodes back. I briefly covered it, but I wanted to cover it more in full now that there's been more recent findings on the acrylamide cancer California issue. That's a lot of C's. Because a lot of people drink coffee, and some people who even don't live in California might have been hearing about the acrylamide cancer warning that is going to be required now in coffee shops like Starbucks over in California. So I wanted to address this and deal with some of the topics at hand, some of the prevalent issues, and then just talk about acrylamide in general, what other foods you can find it. So we're going to be gleaning from the Washington Post, whose great motto is "Democracy dies in darkness." So this is an article that's been recently published by Ben Gorino and Eli Rosenberg. Storm clouds are brewing in California's coffee cups. Companies across the state will have to add a cancer warning label to coffee, a judge ruled this week, because the drink contains a chemical called acrylamide. L.A. County Superior Court Judge Elihu M. Burrell sided with a nonprofit organization in a case against Starbucks, Pete's, and dozens of other coffee chains, saying that businesses that sold coffee were in violation of a state regulation called Prop 65. I've mentioned Prop 65 before. Prop 65 requires businesses with at least 10 employees to disclose any carcinogens and toxic chemicals in their products. An extension of Prop 65 is anytime you have any product, bottle, food. If you look on the back, sometimes you'll see a statement that says this food, chemical, whatever it is, might contain chemicals that cause cancer in the state of California. And so that labeling was done because of Proposition 65 in California. And since most companies aren't going to waste the time and money to make a separate label for every other state in the union or any other country, they just keep it on that label. So that's one of the extensions of Prop 65. And as a whole, I love Prop 65. I'm not a big fan of liberal overreaching policies. But in this case, I like the fact that California is disclosing carcinogens that could be in our food or in our chemicals or household products. The lawsuit filed by an organization called the Council for Education and Research on Toxics cites the presence of acrylamide in coffee. The IARC, a branch of the World Health Organization, describes acrylamide as a human neurotoxin and a group 2A probable carcinogen. I do have an article on the website about the other group 2A probable cancer causers, and we do have a podcast on group 1A, which are definite cancer causers that we're exposed to day in and day out. So acrylamide is a probable carcinogen per the World Health Organization. With those classifications, the chemical certainly does not sound like something people want floating in their morning pick-me-up, but experts said coffee drinkers should not change their habits on the basis of the new ruling. Rodents fed massive amounts of acrylamide do develop cancer. This is an acceptable and appropriate way to determine a carcinogenic effect, said J. Leonard Lichtenfeld, the American Cancer Society's deputy chief medical officer. But anything, including water and oxygen, can be unsafe at a wrong dosage. Those lab rats and mice were doused at rates 1,000 to 10,000 times higher than what humans consume in food, according to the American Cancer Society. So look, even the ACS is saying that, hey, well, let's calm this down, because it really, if you think about it, is it in their best interest to promote that coffee is causing cancer? Yeah, maybe. Maybe it is. The links between cancer and acrylamide in humans are weak or need to be replicated in additional studies, says Timothy Ribbeck, a professor at an institute in Boston. Lichtenfeld agreed. He's part of the American Cancer Society. Quote, there are no well-done human studies that answer the question definitively, close quote. What research there is indicates that the human body does not absorb the chemical at the same rate as rodents do, and we also metabolize it differently. Well, this is good news. Quote, from a practical standpoint, would we recommend people stop drinking coffee as a result of the judge's decision? No, says Lichtenfeld. That's not what the science shows. That's great. Scientists at Stockholm University back in 2002 discovered acrylamide in fried and baked goods. As starchy foods heat up, their sugars and amino acids react. Acrylamide is one of the byproducts. We had mentioned this in the episode, does overcooking your meat lead to cancer? So if you want to go back to that question of overcooking your meat leads to cancer, we do mention acrylamide and in that episode as well. Quote, you can't really make roasted coffee without making acrylamide, close quote. What feels slightly chemophobic about it is to focus on coffee and not widely where acrylamide shows up. Okay, and we're going to talk about that later on, what other foods actually have much, much higher levels of acrylamide. In November, the British Medical Journal published an umbrella review pooling 201 studies that in turn had pulled smaller studies of coffee and health. Coffee consumption, high consumption of coffee was associated with a lot of lower reductions in cancer, which we'll talk about later on. Okay, so from this Washington Post article, we can glean a couple of things. The main thing is that it's going to be a requirement that when you walk into Starbucks, there's going to be a sign, and I will read you this sign that they're going to have at all the Starbucks and all the coffee providers in California. Prop 65 warning. It's a big black sign. Chemicals known to the state of California to cause cancer and reproductive toxicity, including acrylamide, are present in coffee, baked goods, and other foods or beverages sold here. Acrylamide is not added to our products, but results from cooking, such as when coffee beans are roasted or baked goods are baked. As a result, acrylamide is present in our brewed coffee, including coffee mugs at home or elsewhere from our beans. I'm sorry, including coffee made at home or elsewhere from our beans, ground or instant coffee, baked goods, and other foods sold here in grocery stores and other retail locations. Your personal cancer risk is affected by a wide variety of factors. For more information regarding acrylamide, see the FDA, and then there's a website. Okay, so that is the warning. So a couple of things here. Acrylamide, yes, is found anytime you overburn a starch. So there's been studies where if you like slightly toast bread, the acrylamide level is microscopic compared to when you over toast or medium toast a bread. So if you lightly toast a bread, it's maybe like 9 micrograms of acrylamide. But when you toast it to a decent amount, 167. So you look at a at least almost a 20 time multiplication of the amount of acrylamide. So anytime we toast, roast, heat, cook you're going to find acrylamide. So as the sign mentioned, acrylamide is not found naturally in coffee beans. So if any of you eat green coffee beans or you do coffee bean extract, which Dr. Oz got in trouble for a couple years ago, promoting it as a superfood, super drug, and then you find out later that he was kind of paid to push it, you can still eat green coffee beans. It's when we're roasting the coffee that is a problem. But as the article mentioned with the Washington Post, these are studies that were found in rats. They were found in rats. And you can Google and go to PubMed. PubMed is like the big database for medical studies. And I mean, it'll show you there that like in rats, there is a much higher rate of breast, ovarian, endometrial, which is inside of the uterus, prostate, and stomach cancer, as well as lung, brain, and kidney cancer. But as the article mentioned, it's done to rodents at a level 5,000 times higher than that a typical human would get from a peanut butter sandwich, let's just say. But should we be concerned? Because even though, and this goes back to that cell phone podcast episode that I did a few weeks ago, just because, you know, they'll spin it as there's no conclusive proof that cell phones cause cancer. But is there some suggestion that it might? Yeah. So the way they sell is like there's no absolute proof that it doesn't. Well, but there might be some studies that show it might. But as long as it's not a definitive study, then they're like, see, there's no proof that cell phones cause cancer. So the same thing can be kind of said here with acrylamide. So let's talk about foods that have a higher acrylamide rate than coffee. Okay, so I've already mentioned some places that you can get acrylamide. It's pretty much anything that's cooked at a high heat, which is pretty much a lot of things that we eat in the processed world. If you want a great kind of guideline as to how to get processed food out of your diet, go to MPE episode 5, 6, where we talked about the clean eating pantry and clean eating fridge and how to get all these processed foods out. Those are great episodes. But in general, there's a lot of foods in our pantry that have acrylamide. And there are a lot of great Pinterest images that will kind of show which ones have it. But let me just go over some of the major ones. So potatoes, in particular French fries, because fries, of course, are fried. French fries are the worst in everything because they have trans fats. I mean, they're just horrible. But French fries are the worst, the absolute worst in terms of acrylamide content. So if you eat them maybe once a year, maybe even once a week, maybe you're okay. But the potatoes are heated at such a high temperature and that so much acrylamide is released. And so if you look at, let's say, coffee, the intake in like microjoules is 0.027. Okay, 0.027. French fries is 0.70. So you're like, oh, it's still under 1 point. But if you look at the measurement standards, you're looking at 27 thousandths, and French fries are 7/10, which is 1,000 times jump. So you're looking at potatoes in general, but anytime you cook or roast potatoes, but definitely when you fry potatoes. But roasting potatoes does create less acrylamide than if you were to fry it. Bread. Toasting your bread and bagels and English muffins to a very light toast color rather than a brown color does lower the amount of acrylamide. I just mentioned that in the toast study. Very brown areas contain the most acrylamide, so over-toasting your toast would probably be best just to toss that out. The same can be said for pizza dough or anything that comes out of wheat, any type of bread. Okay. Prune juice. Strangely, prune juice, as we know, that helps with constipation. The problem with prune juice is it is pretty high when it comes to acrylamide, too. It's still worth drinking it, but just know that it is pretty high in acrylamide. And then breakfast cereals. Breakfast cereals is one of the more common sources of it. I think most people will be stunned to know that 12% of our daily acrylamide in the diet comes from breakfast cereals. But again, these breakfast cereals are cooked in oils. I mean, how do you think they get so crispy? They get crispy by getting them cooked at high temperatures. Other sources would be peanut butter, almond butter, sunflower butter. Again, these are cooked at very high temperatures to roast them. And so they have a very, very high level of acrylamide. Canned black olives is another one that does show a high source. And then cookies and crackers. Again, just think any, it's essentially any carb product that is cooked at very high temperatures. So cookies and crackers, they themselves account for about 13% of the daily exposure to acrylamide. So if you combine the cookies and crackers with cereals, I mean, you're already looking at a quarter of your exposure. So again, cookies and crackers, anything. They're cooked at high temperatures to make them crispy. So again, acrylamide. And then we've talked about coffee, cocoa or cacao, cocoa beans. You get some in chocolate because most of the chocolate is toasted at a very high level. So those are some of the more common ones, but I'll mention some of the other ones. So we've talked about French fries, potato chips. Again, it's a carb-based chip. So either looking at potato or even corn chips, my favorite blue corn, they have a pretty high acrylamide rate because, again, it's a carb that's being toasted at a high temperature. We've talked about cereal. We talked about cookies. We've talked about toast, popcorn, pretzels. We've talked about peanut butter. We've talked about bagels. So these are very common sources of acrylamide. Okay, so are you like, well, you know, Gregory, should I just be stop drinking coffee and stop eating these foods? Well, I would say, yeah. I mean, we need to minimize the French fries for sure because there's not a lot of health benefits from fried potatoes. And ideally, we want to limit the grains for a whole variety of reasons, the gluten sensitivity and as a whole, many of the grains, especially if we eat them refined like in flour, are simple carbs that are metabolized by the body way too fast, and they don't really give us a good clean burn. Even if you believe in eating grains, which a lot of paleo people don't, a lot of my listeners are paleo or primal. So there are issues with the grains. There are issues with the breads. So look, I mean, honestly, if you kind of adhere to a paleo-inspired lifestyle, you're probably going to be avoiding these foods like French fries and chips and cookies and crackers. So yeah, I would try to limit your exposure to these things, especially French fries. But should we limit our exposure to coffee? Well, let's take a break and find out. All right, so as some of you know, I don't drink coffee. Coffee, and this is really strange. I think I mentioned this in a confessions episode, but coffee makes me kind of jittery. It makes me jittery. And so, you know, I shouldn't say that because honestly, I haven't drunk coffee in several years, because when I did drink it back in my 20s, it made me jittery. And I was like, I don't like the way this feels. It gives me a little palpitation. So I just switched to tea, and I really have never gone back to coffee. I've literally have not drunk coffee in probably about at least 15 years, if not more. So I stick to tea. But I mentioned to my high school students, and I mentioned on the podcast, that I am a good supporter of coffee because the studies are pretty clear of the benefits of coffee. So I wanted to mention just, you know, maybe 10 or so benefits of coffee. So one of them, coffee improves your energy level and makes you smarter. One of the reasons this is, of course, coffee has caffeine. Caffeine is the most commonly taken in psychoactive substance in the world. We just don't think of it as psychoactive, but it is because it's legal, but we don't really think about it. But it is something that gives us energy, and it gives us a greater acumen or a greater, higher level of thinking, similar to what fasting does. And caffeine blocks an inhibitory neurotransmitter called adenosine. And when that happens, the amount of the other neurotransmitters in our brain, like norepinephrine and dopamine, actually increase. And that in itself gives us kind of that higher acumen, higher cognition kind of feeling. All right, second reason you might want to drink coffee is that it helps burn fat. Coffee, along with tea, and I covered this in the tea episode, if you want to go back to that, that's like around episode 40, is that a lot of studies show that caffeine, boost the metabolic rate by anywhere from 3 to 11%. So it boosts it. And we know this already, right? We know caffeine kind of suppresses the appetite, suppresses the ghrelin, and it does speed up your metabolic rate. And so I mentioned in the tea episode that by drinking something like 4 glasses or 4 tea bags a day, you're burning just by drinking that about 100 calories. So there's other studies that show that caffeine can specifically increase the burning of fat as much to 10% in obese individuals and 29% in lean. So just remember that coffee can help burn your metabolism. So again, it gives you energy level because of the caffeine, helps you burn fat. And of course, it works with tea as well. So if you don't want to go to coffee, but if you want to stick with tea, that's another reason. So it does speed up your metabolism. All right, the third reason you might want to drink coffee is it's full of micronutrients. Macronutrient-wise, it's pretty empty. That's why you can drink coffee and not break a fast. I mean, there's no carbs in it. But micronutrient, it has a lot of stuff. So it has a decent amount of magnesium and niacin, and magnesium in particular. We have that episode called Magnesium, the Unknown Epidemic, how most Americans are very deficient in it. And magnesium is responsible for over 300 chemical and enzymatic reactions in the body. So a lot of the heart health, the heart triggering, all the electrical work in the body, magnesium is crucial. So it's high in that. It's high in manganese. It's high in potassium. It's high in panthenic acid, which is B5. It's high in riboflavin, which is B12. So, I mean, these are just some basic reasons why you should drink it or not be against drinking it. Now, can you get these micronutrients, these vitamins from other sources? Sure, but you get them from coffee too. So that's great. All right, the fourth reason is that coffee may lower your risk of type 2 diabetes. Hey, and that's important, right? We have that episode about whether type 2 diabetes can be reversed through changing your lifestyle, and the answer I would say is yes. But type 2 diabetes is a major problem. It affects about 300 million people worldwide, and that is a low estimate. I mean, if you look at the pre-diabetics as well, it's a very high number. And it's, you know, it's about not releasing enough insulin, or the insulin's in the blood when your blood sugar's too high, but the insulin, for whatever reason, is not unlocking your muscles in your brain for the blood sugar to be channeled into that. So there have been some studies that show that it significantly reduces the chance of getting type 2 diabetes. And it shows that people who drink the most coffee have anywhere from a 23 to 50% chance of lowering the risk of getting diabetes, and maybe even as high as 60%. So this is a major thing. I am gleaning this from Healthline, which is a website, and it has all the citations in it, which I don't expect you to look up, but I just want you to know. So coffee can possibly reduce your chances of getting diabetes type 2, the lifestyle one. All right, the fifth reason why you might want to drink the café. Coffee can protect from Alzheimer's and dementia. So dementia is kind of the general umbrella term that we use for diminishment of cognition and memory. And Alzheimer's is probably the most common type of dementia or neurodegenerative disease. And it affects a lot of people. And it there's no cure for it, as I think most of you guys know. And I know probably some of you are affected by Alzheimer's. And there's studies showing that coffee drinkers have up to a 65% lower risk of getting Alzheimer's disease just by drinking coffee. Connected to this, if you go to that episode about dry saunas, if you do dry saunas 20 minutes a day for 4 days or more a week, it lowers your chances of getting Alzheimer's by 66% or so too. So why don't you just do both? All right, the sixth reason that can have a protective effect on your liver. So you guys know the liver has a lot of roles. One of them is that it's essentially the washing machine of the body. Everything you ingest gets eventually sent to the liver to be cleaned. It also makes cholesterol. It makes bile, which helps break down fat. And it stores unused glucose in the form of glycogen. So these are just some things that it does. But there's studies showing that drinking coffee can protect you from a lot of the diseases that affect the liver, including like hepatitis, fatty liver disease, which happens to people who eat a lot of junk food, and then cirrhosis, which is most commonly seen in alcoholics. And there's a study that says people who drink 4 or more cups per day can lower their chances of having these aforementioned liver problems by 80%. 80%. All right, the seventh thing here is coffee can help fight depression and make you happier. And we know depression and anxiety is prevalent. And in a way, it's always been prevalent in the last 50, 60 years. But with this generation, with the social media, it's even more prevalent. If you look at the antidepressant usage rates, they've shot up the last 5 years. If you look at the studies about social media, and the more you're on social media, the higher rate you have of depression. We look at all the biological, physiological reasons people are depressed. So, for example, they have a dysbiome in their gut, a dysbiosis, and so they're not making enough serotonin. They're not getting sunlight and sleep. I mean, there's a host of reasons they're not eating well, why depression is a problem. But there was a Harvard study back published in 2011 that showed that women who drank 4 or more cups per day had a 20% lower risk of becoming depressed. Another study that had 200,000 individuals also showed that if you drank 4 or more cups per day, you were 53% less likely to commit suicide. I don't want to make a joke about that, but it's like maybe because they're so hooked on Starbucks Frappuccinos or whatever that they would never contemplate killing themselves because they love that coffee. All right, a couple more here. The eighth reason why you should drink coffee. Coffee drinkers have a lower risk of some types of cancer. So we know cancer is prevalent. 1 in 3 women, 1 in 2 men will be diagnosed with cancer, diagnosed in their lifetime. And it's just been shooting up. I mean, pretty much this whole podcast, Naturopathy Earth Radio, is about cancer and all the things that cause cancer. So you know that this is a major problem in America. Well, there's some studies that show that coffee drinkers have up to a 40% lower risk of getting liver cancer. And there was another study that had 500,000 individuals studied or tested, and it showed that those who drank 4 to 5 cups of coffee per day had a 15% lower risk of colorectal cancer. So 15 doesn't sound like a lot. But if there's any type of, antioxidant or anti-inflammatory effect that coffee has that would minimize your chances of getting cancer, yet this is like another major reason to drink it. All right, the last one here is coffee does not cause heart disease and may lower the risk of stroke. Okay, so we know that some people who drink coffee or anything with caffeine, so think of like 5-hour energy, they die, right? Their heart can't handle it, the caffeine, and it just goes into ventricular tachycardia and then ventricular fibrillation, and they can't handle it. But as a whole, drinking coffee doesn't raise your risk of getting heart disease or coronary artery disease or plaque buildup. It actually shows that it reduces your chances of getting a heart disease. And there was a study done about 10 years ago showing that coffee drinkers have a 20% lower risk of getting a stroke. So it might increase blood pressure and your pulse to a certain extent, especially if you drink a lot. But as a whole, it lowers your chances of getting heart disease and stroke. All right, and this is the last one. Coffee may help you live longer. The reason they believe this is that they looked at study of all-risk mortality or all the different things that can kill you, and it showed that drinking coffee was associated with a 20% lower risk of all-cause mortality in men and 26% in women. And this is particularly strong in those who are diabetic. So again, going back to the diabetes. So with diabetics who drank coffee, 3 cups a day at least, had a 30% lower risk of dying in that 20-year study period. So again, there's some sort of protective benefit that's coming from coffee. And I also want to mention that coffee, like cacao, like the chocolate, has a very, very high source of antioxidants. So if you look at the ORAC scale, and we have an episode on foods and spices that are high in the ORAC scale. The ORAC scale is like the inflammation scale, like what causes inflammation, and which has the highest level of antioxidants, which reduce inflammation. The coffee bean, the Arabica bean, is very high in antioxidants. This is yet another reason to ingest the coffee. Thank you. Okay, so before I give my parting thoughts here, I brought some cocoa nibs to my students this week. And cocoa nibs, if you go back to that episode on chocolate, what's the best chocolate, the review of dark chocolate, I think it's early on, maybe episode 20 or so. Cocoa nibs are essentially just pieces that come straight from the cacao bean. Sometimes they've been roasted and then they're chopped up, but it's just essentially 100% dark chocolate with no sugar. And so it comes all crunched up. It's like really good to put in smoothies or like sundaes or ice cream because it has a shoot load of fiber and it's very low in carbs and it's very high in the good fats, right? It's typical dark chocolate. So I gave it to my students and they just spit it out. Most of them couldn't handle it because I mean, it literally tastes like dirt. Okay, so going back to this episode, in closing, what are my thoughts here? Drink coffee. Clearly, I'm giving you, 10 reasons that you should drink coffee. So the acrylamide scare, I wouldn't worry too much about it because, look, if it's about French fries, then yes, then I would stop eating French fries. But the gist of it is this. The benefits of drinking coffee, ideally black or sweetened with some, not artificial sweetener because we go back to that episode about how horrible they are, but maybe with a little honey, a little agave, maybe with a little milk or do it bulletproof. I mean, or even stevia, even though I'm not a big fan of stevia, at least how it's sold in the United States, is better. The benefits of coffee outweigh the potential risks of acrylamide, especially when there's no conclusive studies that show that acrylamide is carcinogenic in humans. The studies show that in animals. Now, this might sound a little contradictory because in previous episodes and other carcinogens, I say that we should give credence to the animal studies and that if it shows cancer in animals, then we should be worried. And I do agree with that. I'm not being inconsistent. I'm saying that we should limit the French fries and the frying over toasting of bread and, you know, limit the cereals and the chips and all that to reduce our acrylamide. And honestly, those are all processed foods with very little nutrients as it is. But I would not let that dissuade you from drinking coffee. Continue to drink coffee if you love coffee, ideally black or bulletproof, but keep drinking your coffee. Drink up to 3 to 4 cups. I didn't mention, but the study showed like once you go past 4, like if you're like 7-8 cups of coffee, then almost all those indicators drop and go the opposite direction, especially with the heart health one. So maybe stick to 3-4 cups. And when they mean a cup, they're not talking about a venti, you know, they're talking about like regular 8-ounce cups of coffee. So measure that out as to how you would drink it throughout the day. So keep drinking the coffee. All right, last thing I want to mention, of course, is hit the subscribe button. It would take you 2 seconds to do so. So you get these episodes sent straight to your phone. And if you can, post a review for MP Radio, for Kate's Apothecary, my sister podcast, and for Confessions of an Obese Child. It'd mean a great deal to me. It would take you a couple minutes, and it wouldn't be hard. Just post an honest review. All right, guys, until next time, take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at @naturopathearth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.